Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and joining me is former United States Representative Barney Frank. Welcome to Ask Me Another, Mr. Frank. Actually, let me ask you, how would you like me to address you?
Barney would probably.
Barney? You're going to go with Barney? Very good. So obviously, this is not going to be a political-based interview. This is really lighthearted. Plus, I'm Canadian, so I know nothing. No, I know a little bit, but we're not going to grill you. I'm going to start by asking something, you know, nice and easy. How's married life?
Great. I'm with Jim. Is up there. It's excellent. Now, I say that with apologies to those people, I'm told, out there whose marriages Jim and I somehow damaged. I don't fully understand how. I know you did. We turned to each other when you asked the question, which was Henry VIII.
Yes.
Because I've always felt, as I read about it, that for some people, we're kind of like the character in the V8 commercial. And apparently, I gather this from, for instance, Justice Scalia, that eminent jurist, that there are, I don't know, millions of happily married men in America, and they hear about me and Jim, and they say, I could have married a guy.
You served in Congress for over 3 decades. And let's go back to the beginning, though. Was there a inciting incident, a moment where you thought, I have to put my name on the ballot?
Well, actually, I didn't have much time to talk, as you made clear with your question and answer. I was on a Saturday in May of 1980 planning to run one more time to be state representative and then leave. I'd gone to law school and practiced law and do some gay rights activity and some other work. And I got a phone call that said, as you noted, actually on the Sunday, that the Pope had ordered Father Drynan not to run again. And I then had till 5 o'clock on the following Tuesday to come up with signatures. So there wasn't a lot of contemplation.
When you look back on your accomplishments, what stands out to you as something that you are particularly happy about?
Well, the financial reform bill was obviously important. You know, we have a great United States Senator, Elizabeth Warren, who's a great friend and ally. She and I, you know, as a result, I think, more of our joint efforts than any other, we have for the first time an independent consumer financial bureau that stands up for the consumer vis-a-vis the banks, and that's important. One thing that was important and negative, I played a major role because of the committee I was on, not, you know, this is not some random choice thing, in helping to block the effort to drive Bill Clinton out of office with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And when I got to Congress in 1981, the notion of any kind of political support for what we then called gay rights was unthinkable. And, I put it this way. When I got into politics, I was afraid that my being gay was going to be a hindrance to my being in government because I knew that serving as a congressman, as a senator, you know, that was a great, respectable thing. Being gay was not. As I left office, it struck me that my marriage to Jim was more socially acceptable than my being a congressman. I'd like to think I helped to improve the image of the one, but it's not my fault about the other.
Obviously, even from that answer, it is so clear you have often been cited as one of the wittiest people in Congress, obviously very funny. I read somewhere a rumor that you had once thought of an alternate career, perhaps in stand-up comedy. I am a comedian. I would love to know what kind of act you would want to do.
I have an advantage, seriously, over you, which is you get up, maybe you're on a bill with 3 or 4 other comics, people have paid money, and they say, okay, lady, make me laugh. I get up as part of a group of 8 or 10 people who have been droning on, and people say, okay, keep me awake. I mean, I have a... Trying to be funny in my line of work, you hit a much lower bar than in yours.
But I think we share something in general we're dealing with both of our crowds, is that we also have to tell all the drunk people to be quiet.
Yes.
Do you have to deal with that, too? Yeah.
Except on Election Day, when I tell them to vote. But I will tell you, I got to be very friendly in 1995 when he got elected to Congress with Sonny Bono. And we would talk about, you're dealing with an audience, whether you're a politician trying to sell an idea or you're a comic. And there are similarities there that I enjoy
discussing.
Yeah,
it's all about seduction. It is. It's all about seduction. And making them laugh, and for a brief second, people go, oh, I feel good. All right, whatever you want to do, I'll do.
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like you must have had a pretty competitive family. Your sister, senior advisor for Clinton, I mean, that obviously you guys are both very articulate. And
well, it's, yeah, and my younger sister, Doris Bay, was, she and her late husband were my campaign treasurers for years. I'm very proud of 32 years, 16 elections. You know, many millions of dollars went through, never any problem. She was the one who kept me honest. My younger brother was a speechwriter in the Clinton administration. So, but it's always been mutually supportive. I mean, you know, we've been very lucky that we've had, whenever one of us is doing something, the others have always been
held each other up. Did you guys play board games at home or anything? Scrabble?
No, there was a lot of newspaper reading and political.
No time.
Yeah, and political talk. But the most interesting member of my family, I have to tell you, is my mother, who had never been involved in politics, graduated from high school in 1929, beginning of the Depression. Her parents died. She just became first a legal secretary and then a 50s and 60s housewife, 40s and 50s, raising four kids. In 1982, when I was running for re-election in a tough race, I was for gay rights and I was for against censorship on sex grounds, and I was for legalizing marijuana and abortion. There were suggestions that I was really not in tune with family values. And so the smart people running my campaign said, well, we got to show that you are. So we got this nice, handsome older woman to sit in an easy chair and talk about how good I would be for all the people. And at the end, she says with a somewhat embarrassed smile, and if you want to know why I'm sure that Barney will be so good for us older people, he's my son. It was my mother who then launched a great political career. At the age of 70, she then went on for the next 15 years to be a major elderly political leader. So that was a further example of the collaboration.
That's amazing. I want your family. All right, Barney, would you like to take an Ask Me Another challenge?
I said I would.
So then, yes. It's good enough for me. Barney Frank, everybody. Congressman Frank, Barney, throughout your career, you've been known as one of the most articulate and wittiest people in Washington. We thought we'd take you down memory lane and review some of your notable quotes. But to make it a game, we had to do a little something extra. So what we're going to do is read some quotes from two other newsmakers, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann and rap legend Kanye West. So it's your job to tell us who said each quote. Is it you, Michelle Bachmann, or Kanye West? And Jonathan Colton here will help me with this game. And if you get enough right, we have a listener by the name of Sabrina Mazur in Atlanta, Georgia, and she will win a Rubik's Cube. Stakes are high. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The problem with the war in Iraq is not so much the intelligence as the stupidity.
That's I.
That's you. That's right.
Okay, this is a quote from Twitter. Somebody tweeted this. Was it you, Michelle Bachmann, or Kanye West? Fur pillows are actually hard to sleep on.
Fur pillows? Kanye West.
Kanye West is correct.
What tipped you off on that one?
Well, I don't tweet, so I got it down to two.
Okay, that's good, that's good.
Then I just went with my instinct.
Anyone? In 2009, who greeted Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Steele by saying, Michael Steele, you be da man, you be da man?
I guess Michelle.
You guess right.
In 2009, who said, ma'am, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table? I have no interest in doing it.
That would be I.
Yes, that was you.
Would you like to provide context for that particular
Yes,
quote?
She was a follower of Lyndon LaRouche, who was holding a poster of President Obama with a Hitler mustache, and asked me why I was continuing to support the Hitler-like extermination policies of President Obama. I'm glad you asked me for the context, because you differentiate yourself as a news medium from Fox News, which always always runs the answer without the question.
Well, I think you were very kind with the dining room table reference.
Well, but you would understand, if there, as a comic, first of all, there is the rule of three.
Absolutely.
And the three syllables is better than, you know, debating a chair. I mean, that was...
Right. That's right. Dining room table. Already a winner. Punchline.
On the other hand, who would have thought that, having said that, Clint Eastwood would have taken me seriously 3 years later? To prove that I was right, I think the chair won.
The Bible had, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 characters in it. You don't think I would be one of the characters of today's modern Bible?
Kanye West?
Yes.
That was one of his more modest days, by the way.
He had a very condensed Bible, I gather. It was very...
Just about 50 characters. Yeah.
Finally, who said this? I'm used to being in the minority. Hey, I'm a left-handed gay Jew. I've never felt automatically a member of any majority.
Well, if we weren't on radio, I'd just raise my left hand, he showed him, to be the one who did that.
Clearly, these were too easy, and you won. And you got them all correct. That means you are the winner. Sabrina Mazur will get her Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube. Thank you so much. Another huge round of applause for our VIP, Barney Frank. Jonathan, what else do you have in store for us?
I'm going to play a song for you. This is by the Pixies.
Outside there's a boxcar waiting, outside the family stew, out by the fire breathing, outside we wait till face turns blue. I know the nervous walking, I know the dirty beard hangs, out by the boxcar waiting, take me away to nowhere plains. There is a wait so long, never wait so long. Here comes your man, here comes your man, here comes your man.
Jonathan Colton.
Thank you.